All right, welcome to City First, everybody. I love you guys very much. Thank you for being here. And At the Movies has officially arrived, and this is one of our favorite times of the entire year. And if it maybe is your first time to join us for an At the Movies series, it really is exciting time here at City First. Is what we do is we take movies and we discuss them, but movies are not the real topic. They're just the beginning of the conversation. And one of the best parts about At the Movies is all the activities we have going on in the foyers of all of our locations. So there's like photo ops and places where you can take pictures with friends and family, and it's a lot of fun for the kids. So do this, tag at City First Church in any of your social media posts so that we can repost your pictures on our feed. And we are talking this month about various movies, which are stories, and we're teasing out of those stories life-changing biblical truths. In fact, 2,000 years ago, this is what Jesus did, not with movies, but what Jesus would do is he would tell stories. We call them parables. These were fictional stories, but embedded inside of these stories that he told were life-changing truths we even talk about to this day. So we're going to do the same thing. We're going to take modern-day parables, modern-day stories, and we're going to talk about them. And this week, I'm launching this off with kind of a family favorite. It is Inside Out 2, all right? How many of you, just out of curiosity, have seen Inside Out 2? Yeah, a few of you, definitely, especially those who had kids, probably. This summer, the Dewerts, we were at a cabin for a couple of weeks up north as our family vacation, and about halfway through, Jen had an idea. She said, hey, listen, why don't we drive about 45 minutes to this small town? They have a theater there, and you know what? I'm sure Paxton, our little guy, would love to see the new movie Inside Out 2. Now, I'm going to be honest for a moment. The idea of driving 45 minutes to go watch a kid's cartoon did not thrill me very much. I mean, I am not the cartoon guy, all right? That's not the kind of movies I like to watch, but I thought, okay, you know what? Jen's like, we gotta do this as a family. I'm like, all right. So got in the car, I thought maybe it's a good chance to go take a nap or something, right? But I tell you, we got there and we watched the movie, and I'm gonna admit, this movie was a pretty phenomenal movie. It really was well done. In fact, I even thought to myself, I thought, this is not even so much a kid's movie. This is a movie that even adults should watch, because it's about a girl who's growing into adulthood, and all of a sudden her emotions start getting a little crazy, but the emotion of anxiety enters into the picture. And I thought to myself, I thought, wow, that is a really powerful truism, that there's a lot of anxiety going on in our culture right now. And as I'm watching this movie, I'm thinking, we're going to do this movie for At the Movies because we need to talk about anxiety. So that's the topic of our message today, is anxiety. And I want to just talk about this for a moment. I want to share a few truths about anxiety before we launch into it. First of all, anxiety has been on the rise in our culture over the last 4 years, especially during and after COVID. Now, I could show you study after study done by reputable, you know, organizations, health organizations, mental health organizations that have spent like literally millions of dollars researching the subject of anxiety over the last like 4 or so years. And I'm telling you, most of them, I'm just going to kind of sum it all as saying this, anxiety is up and to the right. It is increasing in our culture. And the second thing is that people from all walks of life deal with anxiety. This is not just a kid thing. It's not just an adult thing. It's not just a female thing or a male thing or whatever. I'm telling you, all different people, whether they're professionals, whether they're students, whether they're retirees, whether they're stay-at-home parents, there is anxiety permeating throughout our entire culture. Number three, anxiety does not negate our relationship with God. What do I mean by that? Well, a simple way of saying it is that those people with faith and those people without faith are both dealing with anxiety, studies show. So just because you know Jesus doesn't mean that you don't have some anxiety going on. And on top of that, Just because you know Jesus and you have anxiety doesn't mean that you have a poor relationship with God. You know, anxiety is something that really can creep into anybody's life. Number four, some of us deal with chronic anxiety, and some of us deal with this times of anxiety. And what I mean by that is that I'm talking to a whole spectrum of people in the room. In fact, there are some people in the room that are on this side of the spectrum, and you're thinking, why did I come to church today? Because honestly, we're going to talk about a cartoon and anxiety. I mean, I don't deal with that at all. You may be on this side of the spectrum, and you just don't deal with fear a lot. Then on the other side of the spectrum, there are people that you're like, oh my goodness, I am so glad you're saying that I came to church today, because I've been dealing with anxiety like this morning, you know? And so there's all different people in the spectrum. Some deal with chronic anxiety, some deal with just seasons of anxiety. Number five, if you don't deal with anxiety, have grace for those that do. And the reason I say that is because you might right now might not be dealing with fear or anxiety, but I guarantee you, you know someone who does. You might be married to them, they might be your kid, might be a coworker, a fellow student, might be a grandparent. I'm just saying, take copious notes today, because even if you're personally like going, this doesn't pertain to me right now, you can help someone else who it does pertain to that's walking through a season of anxiety. And that's what we're supposed to do as the body of Christ. We're supposed to help one another. Again, if you don't deal with anxiety, you might be thinking, well, why am I here? Well, I used to think that. Honestly, I didn't deal with anxiety a lot early on into my career. But I will tell you that some of my best friends in ministry and in the marketplace who are really successful people, like I'm telling, they're successful people, they deal with a lot of anxiety. And I didn't understand it until in the early 2000s, all of a sudden, I dealt with a season of anxiety, and it was actually a season of panic attacks. I didn't know what was going on. I was running a large youth group here at the church. I was running the leadership college at the same time. Jen and I had just had our second boy of our three, and how many of you know that our parents that have multiple kids, that one kid is addition, the second kid is multiplication, right? It's not just that you're adding another kid, it's somehow multiplied, like you know, you start playing all of a sudden like zone defense and stuff like that. And you know, kids are a blessing, but boy, it's a lot of responsibility. And here, Jen and I are these, you know, young couple. I mean, we just don't know what we're doing. We're green and we're having kids and we're running a ministry and we're doing all this stuff. And one night, I'll never forget this, I was watching with Jen in our living room. The boys had gone to bed and I was watching the show ER. You guys remember the show ER? And it was one of the scenes, like, every episode where it's like they're rushing someone in off the ambulance into the ER and they're like, you know, we need to resuscitate and it's chaos, you know, and they're all like talk. And I'm watching and we're just watching it. And it was like, there was something that just like almost dripped over me, like just drenched over me, this fear. And I started to have this like panic attack. I never had a panic attack in my life. I'd never dealt with anxiety like in my life. And I mean, I had seasons where, you know, you have your natural fears. Like when I started a new school my freshman year, I was a little nervous, you know, that's normal. But I never dealt with anxiety and I never had like a panic attack. And all of a sudden I'm watching this scene in ER and I looked at Jen and I go, turn it off. And she's like, what's wrong? And I'm like, I feel like I'm gonna die. I'm like, what's going on here? And if you've ever had a panic attack, you literally feel like you're gonna die. And I didn't know what it was. And in the next few months, I started to have more of them. And more of them. And I didn't know, honestly, I didn't know what was going on. Like literally there was a battle going on in my mind. I'd never experienced it before. And it kind of brings me to this last point I have before we really jump into it, just kind of a foundation here. But number six is that overcoming anxiety is a process. It's not a one-time event. And I learned that because in that season, again, early 2000s, I'm like, what's wrong with me? I'm just going to pray a prayer, you know, and it will go away. And here in our movie, Inside Out 2, anxiety shows up in this girl Riley's head. Anxiety shows up unannounced and uninvited, to be honest with you. And that's what fear does, by the way. Shows up unannounced many times and uninvited. And once anxiety showed up, anxiety tried to take control of all the other emotions. And in our real life, as you're watching clips, I want you to think about your real life. I know it's like a kiddie movie, but in your real life, when anxiety moves into our mind, guess what? Anxiety starts to go to work. Watch this.
Joy, along with Riley's other original emotions, sneak into a session where anxiety is working to send negative thoughts to Riley as she is trying to go to sleep. Through the mind projections, anxiety is trying to make Riley think of every possible thing that could go wrong at hockey camp. Every mistake, every worry about her friends accepting her, every question about making the team, spiraling Riley to anxiously toss and turn. She's using Riley's imagination against her. Joy wants to shut it down immediately and starts to draw her own projections of what could go right. She eventually inspires the entire room to start positively impacting Riley's thoughts with things like, she makes the team, she makes great friends, she succeeds, eventually calming Riley down and she drifts off to sleep.
You know, anxiety will always get you to focus on worst case scenarios. Always, always. At work, at school, in your friendships, in your parenting, in your career, wherever you're at, always your brain starts going to worst case scenarios. But the Bible says this in Philippians chapter 4. It says, do not be anxious about anything. Everybody say anything. Anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Now, if you've ever dealt with anxiety before, you probably heard this verse. You probably have heard this verse. In fact, if you Google anxiety or fear and faith, 9 out of 10 times, a website's gonna come up with this verse in it in the results. And it's probably the most famous scripture when talking about anxiety in the Bible. It says, don't be anxious about anything. But most people don't realize, as the Apostle Paul is writing what was originally a letter to a church in Philippi, which is why we call it Philippians, all right? He's writing this church that's under a lot of stress and a lot of pressure and even a lot of persecution. There's a lot of bad things happening and they're thinking worse case scenarios. And so he's writing them and he's going, hey, listen, I want you to start thinking about your thinking and don't be anxious about anything. But he really starts the idea of anxiety and how to deal with it 2 verses earlier. Let's go back to verse 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord. How often? Always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. That's so important for those of us that deal with fear. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. In other words, peace, which transcends your circumstances, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This passage is Paul's way of helping us understand how to deal with anxiety God's way. And when I say deal with anxiety, I mean that because most of the time, fear and anxiety does not go away because of a prayer or a church service or a sermon, but rather it is a process, all right? In fact, I would even say if anyone deals with anxiety that's almost debilitating in the room, many times simple answers to the complex things going on in your mind almost is offensive, right? Like when people are just like, well, just pray about it, okay? Well, yeah, that is part of it, but it's more than just a one-time prayer. And it's not just reading a Bible verse. Instead, it is a process, and this is important for us to understand, a process of renewing the mind. Your mind has certain pathways that is rut thinking, R-U-T, rut thinking. It is just thought that way so long, that's where your thoughts naturally travel. And reprogramming or renewing the mind means that you create new pathways. new ways of thinking. Because the reality is anxiety many times is rooted in some sort of a realistic fear. Like, you know, when I was dealing with anxiety years ago that I talked about there, the pressure was on me. There was a pressure to be a good husband. I mean, I'm a young 31-year-old at the time, and I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. You know, I want to be a good husband. I want to be a good dad. I got these two amazing boys. I want them, you know, to know that their dad loves them. I want to raise them right. I had financial pressure. I mean, back when you're a young family and you're having kids, when you most need money, that's when you don't have it, right? You know? And so I'm like, we had financial pressure. I'm trying to be a good pastor. I'm trying to run the staff that I had. I mean, there was a lot I was carrying as this young 31-year-old, and that stuff was real, and it was weighing me down. So it wasn't made up stuff, but life has a way of making what we're carrying feel a lot heavier when we start focusing on the worst case scenarios, right? In fact, it says this in Psalm 42. The psalmist says, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me?" Pastor Louis Giglio runs a church in Atlanta, and he wrote a book called Putting an X Through Anxiety, and he talks about text neck syndrome. This is actually something that science and the medical society has been studying. And here's a picture of it. It's interesting. As we become more screen dependent in our culture, it is literally changing our physical posture. And so what's happening here is at 0 degrees, if your head is upright, at 0 degrees, your head just naturally weighs between 10 and 12 pounds, all right? But the more that you look down at screens and the more your posture is being formed to hunch and to look down, the heavier your head becomes to your body. So much so, look at this, at 60 degrees, your head to your body weighs 60 pounds. It's actually creating a difference in our physicality, in our physical posture. But I'm here to tell you that the same happens spiritually. The same happens when you look down into your problems all the time. You look down into worst case scenarios. All of a sudden, life becomes so heavy and you're carrying more than what you're supposed to carry. Even practically speaking, and I'm not an anti-technology guy. Jen and the team around here can tell you. I mean, just coming to church here, you know, we love technology. So we're not anti-tech, but I will say this, that sometimes screens in our lives, it's also making our life a lot heavier. Like some of us, we are just binging on the news 24/7 and everything happening in the presidential campaign. Let me put it in a nutshell, what's happening in the presidential campaign. It's a flipping circus. That's it, okay? All right? And guess what? There's something new entering into the ring today than wasn't there yesterday. It's a circus, you know? You know? Okay? So you don't need to fixate on it. And it's gonna get worse in the next couple of months. I'm just gonna let you know that, all right? In fact, next month, I'm doing a sermon series. I'm gonna talk a little bit about politics. You're gonna wanna definitely come to it, okay? But here's the thing. The thing I'm saying is this, is sometimes screens, whether it be social media, whether it be news, whether it be whatever it is, it's like the more we focus on it, the heavier life becomes. The more you look down, the more weight you carry. But guess what? We are to look up. It says in Psalms 123, "Lord, I look up to you." Up to the heaven, guess what? Where you rule. You rule. So if I'm looking down into my problems rule. And guess what? I am heavy. But if I look up to God and I go, "God, I have problems. I'm not denying I have problems, but God, you are bigger than those problems. You will give me strength. You rule." It lifts the burden. It lifts the weight. Oh, you still carry weight. You still have a burden, but it's not as heavy as when you're hunched over looking at worst case scenarios. You know, you and I, we get to choose what we get to focus on. We choose whether we focus on anxiety or faith. We decide. And if we decide to focus on our fears, guess what? Those fears will dominate our thoughts and it will get a little crazy. Watch this.
After making a few big mistakes during tryouts and getting sent to the penalty box, Riley begins to have an intense panic attack. Anxiety, trying to fix it, spirals out of control, causing Riley to believe all the wrong things. I can't do this. I'm not good enough. I'm all alone. The other new emotions try to stop anxiety, but it is beyond what they can handle. Joy and the other original emotions return to find Riley in a serious state. Joy breaks through anxiety's hurricane of emotion and says calmly, "Anxiety, it's time to let her go." Anxiety loosens her grip and control of Riley's mind, and the emotions work together to stop the attack. Riley finally experiences relief, calms down, and takes a deep breath.
You know, some of us, that scene depicts what's going on in our soul. There's like a storm, you know, and maybe people don't even know what's really happening on the inside, but there's just a storm. When you go to work, when you go to school, when you're trying to take care of your kids, when you're doing life. And I want to just take the last few moments that we have together, and I want to give you some very practical ways to deal with anxiety. And the first thing is this: you got to realize that you have an ant problem, an ant problem, A-N-T. Some of you are like going, how does he know? I really do have an ant problem back at home. You know, no. In the 1990s, Dr. Daniel Amen, literally his last name is Amen, came up with this term, and the term is ants, automatic negative thoughts. Automatic negative thoughts. This is how he describes them. He says this, that these ants are cynical, gloomy, and complaining thoughts that just seem to keep coming all by themselves. Like, my presentation is going to go horribly today, and I'll look stupid. Do you ever stop and go, where do these thoughts come from? Like, before you're about ready to go to work, before you're going to make the presentation, before you're going to take the test, whatever it is that you're going to do, and all of a sudden you're like going, I can't do it. I'm stupid. This isn't going to work. I'm underqualified. Whatever it is. And these ants come from everywhere. In fact, some of us have an ant infestation. There's all these thoughts. Second thing is this, worship is your weapon. Worship is your weapon. Says in Philippians chapter 4. Yeah, come on, give that round of applause. I know somebody going, yeah. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Going back to that verse. Rejoice in the Lord always. A different word for rejoice is worship. So let me replace it. Worship the Lord always. Paul says, I'll say it again. Worship. Rejoice. In other words, you gotta get some worship in you, whether you are dealing with chronic anxiety or just a small season of fear. The very first step is worship. This isn't a Christianese answer. It isn't like, well, yeah, Jeremy, you're a pastor. You gotta say that kind of an answer. It's an imperative, because sometimes you worship because you had a victory, but sometimes you worship because you need a victory. Does that make sense? That is so important. I talked about this a little bit last week. I kind of touched on it, but to kind of piggyback on it, you know, in the Old Testament, many times God would say, as his people were going to go to war, he would say, put the priests or the pastors in front of the warriors or the soldiers and give them trumpets and have them go marching in the battle first, blowing the trumpet. These were not normal, like military trumpets like we see in other times of human history. Rather, these were worship trumpets or worship instruments. So what he was really saying is God's going, I want the pastors to go first and lead us into worship as we go into battle, because guess what? Worship is the weapon. Worship is how the enemy is defeated, right? And so God's saying, before you battle, you worship. Before you battle, you worship. You got to replace the soundtrack of your mind that is singing songs of sorrow and despair and fear. You instead have to put a new soundtrack in your heart, in your mind, of how big your God is, and he is able, and he will come to your rescue, and he is with you, right? In fact, even this last week, City First Worship released its first single off the upcoming album that's going to drop at the beginning of October, and it's the song, My Confidence. Some of you, listen, download that song. Listen to it on the way into work or school. It's that your confidence is not in you. Your confidence is in the God who's gifted you to do what you are to do. Your confidence comes from heaven, not your pedigree or your degree or your abilities or whatever. You and I get to choose what goes into our ears, but we also get to choose what comes out of our mouth. The Bible says in Luke chapter 6, verse 45, the mouth speaks of what the heart is full of. So you know what? If your heart's full of fear, it many times speaks fear. But you got to change that language. And you got to say, you know what? I want to talk less about my fear. I want to talk about how big God is. Don't talk about how big you are. Talk about how big your God is. Does that make sense? Third thing is this. Remember the greater story that you're a part of. In other words, the enemy wants you to think that this chapter of anxiety is your whole story. You hear that? What you're going through right now, that's your whole story. That's what he wants you to think, but that isn't your story. In fact, this is only a chapter. Fear is only a chapter of the story. Here is the whole story. You are a child of God. That you are created on purpose and for a purpose. And that, guess what? God is greater and more powerful than the challenges you're encountering right now. You're not alone. And that you are loved. That's your story. Every other narrative is fiction. I just told you the true story. Does that make sense? Last thing is this, is that we understand that anxiety is not our identity. I was reading an article out of the New Yorker back in May, and it said that psychiatric labels are becoming people's identities, and it's actually kind of freaking some people out in the psychiatric fields because they're like, we're giving people kind of a diagnosis, but now they're using that diagnosis as their identity. And it's something it's a secular article, it's not a Christian article, but you know what? It's nailing it. And here's the thing. Your dysfunction is not your identity. Your deficiency is not your identity. God's sufficiency is your identity. Does that make sense? And we live in this season of already and not yet. Like, we're already conquerors. We're more than conquerors, the Bible says. But yet we still battle, right? We're victorious over anxiety, but yet it still rears its ugly head from time to time. We're in this already and not yet kind of thing. And here's what we got to understand, that Paul says we can experience the peace that transcends all understanding, even though we're still in the battle, because we already own the victory because of what Jesus did on the cross. You know, it's interesting. I can tell you from my own personal story. I have, by God's grace, overcome the anxiety I was dealing with back when I was 31 years old and for that season. And you know what? It wasn't because I was all that. It was because I went on this journey, this process of renewing the mind. I reminded myself that worship is my weapon. I reminded myself that the greater narrative is that I'm a child of God. I reminded myself that I can't just be bowed down and hunched over and focusing on my problems, but I got to look to God, who is my source and my rescue. And I learned how to not fixate on the ants that are crawling into my mind, but rather instead, I take captive those thoughts and make them obedient to Christ. And so, as the story wraps up here with Riley, she decides that she is going to allow joy to have control of her mind. Joy would be the one at the control panel. Let's watch.
Coming out of the anxiety attack, Riley looks up to see her friends checking on her. Riley shares with her friends how these new emotions have caused her to act unlike herself and who she wants to be. all because she gave into anxiety. Riley's friends forgive her, which encourages Riley in that moment that she is accepted and loved for exactly who she is. Riley takes a deep breath and chooses to walk forward in joy. Joy heads back to the control panel to once again take the lead alongside the other emotions, just as she had from the beginning. Riley smiles and finishes the game strong, hopeful for the future.
As we close, the Bible says this: "The joy of the Lord is my strength." Okay, the joy of the Lord, you got to choose it. Sometimes you choose joy, sometimes you feel joy, sometimes you choose joy. But the joy of the Lord gives you the strength to overcome. Bible also says this, that God has not given us a spirit of fear, meaning a mindset of anxiety, but rather power, love, and a sound mind. It's a process, but little by little, you don't have to allow anxiety and fear to rule, but rather instead, you can choose to have the joy of the Lord and it becomes your strength. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I pray right now for my friends. And God, I realize there's all kinds of stories and scenarios that are represented in front of me. God, I realize that there are people in here that rarely deal with fear and some people that always deal with fear and everybody in between. But God, I ask that you would just help us to remember that we are to not focus down on our circumstances, but rather to look up to you. That we are to, in a sense, take captive the ants, those negative thoughts, and to make them obedient to Christ, like the Bible says. We're supposed to worship as a weapon, and we're supposed to choose joy. Lord, help us to choose joy for those of us that are going through a time of hardship right now. God, give us strength by helping us choose joy, and help us to have a sound mind, a sound heart, to sleep well at night, realizing the true narrative, and that is we are a child of God. You have us in your hands. You care for us. You're with us. You love us. And because of that, Lord God, we worship you and thank you in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Let's go ahead and give God a huge round of applause.
What an incredible message today from Pastor Jeremy Doerr. And you know what? If you are listening to this and you are thinking about just the fear and anxiety that you've been facing and you haven't made Jesus the leader and forgiver of your life, we just wanted to stop and give you an opportunity to do that right now. All of that fear, all of that anxiety, God says that he gives us a promise with that, that there is no fear in his love. And so today, if you want to accept Jesus as a leader and forgiver of your life, I would love for you to pray this prayer after me. Dear Lord, I know that I've made mistakes and I need your forgiveness. I believe that you died for my sins and I now invite you to be the leader and forgiver of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, hey, if you just prayed that prayer for the first time, let me be the first to say congratulations. That is one of the best decisions that you can ever make. And what we encourage you to do, number one, is tell somebody, tell a friend, tell a family member. You can click on the link and let us know that you made that decision. And also, we have a free gift that's just for you. It's completely free resource called the New Beginning Resource. You can scan that QR code on the screen or you can download it through our City First app. And I've got Pastor Cam coming too. He's going to let you know about another free resource that you can use.
That's right. One of my favorites, and it's called Growth Track. Yep. This is a really awesome experience where you guys get to understand and learn your God-given gifts and mm-hmm. just kind of like how you were made. So it's really, really awesome, really, really cool experience. And what's cool is that you can do it online. Yep. If you want more information about that, just go head over to our City First app. And if you haven't downloaded it yet, it's going to be really important that you do. So go ahead and download that. Yep. And we would love to see you at Growth Track.
That's right. And we want to encourage you too. If this message really spoke to you today, share it with a friend, share it with a family mm-hmm. member. Next week, we'll give you a little bit of a spoiler alert. Next week,
one of my favorites.
What's next week for At the Movies?
The Lord of the Rings.
The Lord of the Rings. I can't remember the last time I watched that, so I'm excited.
Yeah, it's
going to
be a long service. We're watching the whole movie.
No, we're not. We're not watching it. We're not watching the whole service. But as always, the best place to watch all of the At the Movies services is at live.cityfirst.church or through our app, because we can actually play all of the movie clips there. And so tune in next week there. Make sure to invite a friend. And we're praying for you this week as you go into it. We know that God has a lot for you, and he's got a lot of love, and he's got a lot of just power that he wants to work through you this week. So we're praying for you guys. Have a fantastic week.